All right, we've got just a few minutes left before our public portion, so we're going to go on to action item number 13. And we have Mr. Canto available.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry about that. I was actually making some notes and distracted there for a minute. So glad to be up. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roebling. John Canta. I'm the Terrestrial Section Chief for South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. And the next item that we'll be addressing is the big game depredation hunts and an associated resolution for the Commission to look at. So I'll just talk a little bit about pool hunts. And so our wildlife damage staff, in particular, our wildlife damage specialists are typically addressing damage complaints. And a lot of times these are, when we're having a harder winter and we're seeing wildlife congregate, and a lot of times they're hitting stored feeds and things of that nature. And so our wildlife damage staff, our wildlife damage specialists have a bunch of tools that they can use to address these requests for service. Of course, we have Stackyards, which is a very popular and successful program that we offer to help protect those stored feeds. We do some hazing, food plots, fencing, netting. We've got a lot of tools in the tool bag, including pool hunts. But I would also like to point out, we have the regular season. So that's our best tool and really most cost-effective tool. So we try to issue, the licenses needed that we think will address or be, need to be available to address those wildlife population numbers so that we don't end up with a situation that we need to take it to the next level. So we do try to address it as much as possible with the regular season and licensed hunters. But certainly we have all those other tools in the tool bag, and we have and do use those, including pool hunts. Now, pool hunts, typically we're using those as a kind of a last resort or more of a precise kind of a address to the issue. And what these are is an opportunity for the department to open a hunt on private property in a very specific area. And so again, a lot of times that's, we're dealing with wildlife that are congregating over winter in big groups and hitting, one or two or a few private properties. Now, typically with low populations, like for example, deer right now, we're not seeing a lot of issues, and we've had mild winters as well. So that's certainly, while we're not seeing moisture and would like to have that, it does, on the other side, allow for us to have less work and see less of those requests for service in those situations when we have mild winters. We have used pool hunts very sparingly, and honestly, in the last several years, have had just one or two pool hunts that have popped up. These were for deer. We haven't in the last couple of years. It's been a pretty manageable and slow, and we've been able to address these requests for service with our other wildlife damage tools. So just a couple of specifics on the pool hunts. For elk, we can run a pool hunt, or what statute and rule says is that a pool hunt can be offered anytime during the year outside of the regular season. It's a bit different for the other species. So for turkey, pronghorn, deer, the other species, it would be August 15th through March 31st the following year rule allows for pool hunts to be offered. What we do is each about December, we send out a notification or an email requesting folks to apply to be put on the pool hunt list. And so folks can go online, enter their information in, and be put on the list in the event that we do need to offer a pool hunter, use that tool. When we put those together, we then take that list, randomize it, and use that to contact potential hunters and execute the pool hunt. The way that it works is that we'll visit with that particular landowner, get them to sign an agreement, work on all the particulars at the ground level. That goes up through supervisors and ultimately to Secretary Roebling to sign and approve those individual pool hunts. And if those are approved, then of course we work with that landowner to get those hunters out there and work on that request for service. In most all of the cases, these are not intended to manage populations. It's intended to put some pressure on those animals, haze them, if you will, and push them. And again, typically it's off of stored feeds or coming into and congregating in areas with stored feed. So they're, again, not meant to be, to significantly impact population numbers, more just to provide a kind of a precise response to that request for service. So the current resolution that the commission adopted in 2023 will end here at the end of 2026. And so what we have in front of you today is a resolution that would authorize Secretary Roebling or the Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks to issue no more than 600 permits and an additional 200 landowner operator permits for each species of deer, antelope, and turkey per year, and then no more than 100 permits per year for elk. So it would be an up to that this would authorize Secretary Roebling to approve on an annual basis. I'd certainly take any questions or discussion, but we would ask that the commission, if they're in favor of this resolution, please take action to pass it.
All right. Any questions of the commission? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Bartling, and this might be more for the secretary, but prior to the issuing of these type of licenses, do the officers out there perhaps use gates or the panels and whatnot prior to that, before the actual issuance of a hunt permit? Thank you.
Yeah, through the chair. This is Captain Secretary Game, Fish, and Parks. Yes. Absolutely. We do have a staged, I would say, level of request for service, a staggered level of request for service. You know, the first being stored feeds. If that's an issue, we will put paneling up. We will try to do some short-stop feeding at times, or just overall deterring those animals from, occupying the area. If those repeated measures are deemed unsuccessful, then we'll go into more of this depredation pool hunt. Before that, though, if we can get the landowner enrolled in a public access program and we know it's a chronic area, that's the best way to address a wildlife damage area in particular. Get hunters in there before the issue even comes to fruition, in a sense. So lots of different scenarios that all kind of take a different solution. But this tool here that John's talking about, we use it very limited. I think I, in the course of my 5 years of being secretary, I can count on one hand how many depredation pool hunts we have done in the last 5 years in particular.
Any further questions of the commission? If not, this is an action item, so we'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Bartling. We have a second?
I'm sorry.
All right. We have a second. All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. The resolution is passed.
Thank you.
And thanks, John. Gail, you need a couple minutes. We're going